You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, Don, now, in a never-ending search for perfection, we... Yeah, and this is directed at you. We have flown in a technician from overseas. He's quarantined for 2 weeks, and we've got Rob here. He's not...
Who?
We're not allowed to mention who he is, but he's been flown in
from overseas.
Rob. He... In response to the many complaints, if that phone rings, turn that off for a start.
I'm not technically savvy, as you know, but I've got information in here.
Don, I'm finishing who Rob is. He has been flown in. We have flown him in at great expense. He's come in from San Fran Footscray in today to tell us how to work the microphones, because we are getting too many complaints about you not speaking into the microphone, shouting, breathing. Last week when we were speaking to Lee Matthews, you breathed into the microphone as though you had emphysema.
I was excited.
You went to sleep. You were snoring into it. Then I get annoyed because I lean out
and you've got perfect microphone manner.
Rob has asked, I don't know if he probably doesn't want to speak, but he has asked you to speak properly. You're speaking off it now. Get your face and mouth in front of the actual... Is that right, Rob?
Yes.
Get your face in front... Now get your mouth in front of it. Rob, is there any point? Why have you come in? Don, get your mouth in front of it. Now, just a
couple. You haven't got someone to put shit on. You can't work.
I'm. What is it? All right.
Oh, thanks. It's always been fine, Rob. It's like him talking into a bloody tunnel. My voice has been coming over perfectly well.
It has not, Don. You're ignorant of the fact that people. Ignorant of the fact that people call in to me on my social platform, because you haven't got one. You contribute nothing in the way of content or production values. Now, speaking of production values, the Rocket is not here today.
Why?
I'm about to tell you, Don. When I said the Rocket is not here today, why would you say why? I hadn't finished. Why would you say that? The Rocket is not here today for a couple of reasons. Production values and content, for a start.
What are you talking about?
Production values and content. And he is fed up with, not me so much, but I've got a feeling he's fed up with the fact that we blame him, sort of.
What for? Well, hang on.
I'm telling you.
I understand, but you...
We blame him. I've got a... he thinks we blame him... Because the sound buzzes and you don't come
on
air properly.
Hang on, this is news to me. Don't put the plural. It could be I, meaning you.
No.
I've got...
So when I say to the Rocket, we're getting complaints about sound, they can't hear Don, and then he shouts and then he speaks off mic, he probably thinks that it's his fault. And he is now taking... He's just stepped back while Rob here... We've flown in, as I say, from overseas to oversee how the equipment works. And we've got a proper technician here. Rod doesn't profess to be a proper technician, but he's sick of us saying,
hang on. Not us, you.
Yeah, I'm sick of... Yeah, he's sick of
there's
me.
There's no meetings or anything. There's no communication from week to week with you and I or anybody. We just rock up and here we go.
How many times would I tell you on air to speak into the microphone, don't shout... And how many times would I tell you that? So anyhow, Rob's here and the Rocket's not. So if you're wondering where the Rocket is, he's taken leave of absence this week. He's assessing his options.
Rob, if you're a technical guru, I've got my phone here. Now, I've got some
content. Rob's not allowed to speak.
Okay. Rob... I've got my phone
What's
here.
What's the point of speaking to him if he's not allowed to speak? You're just going to have a conversation with yourself.
Rob, can you turn the volume down on my phone? I've got content on it. I don't know what to do. I'm
you don't
technically
know how to turn
illiterate.
The
f-
you don't know how to turn the sound down on your phone.
No.
Well, God help us. Now, that would explain a lot, Don. That would
Have you done it, Rod? Rob?
No.
Well, he can't do it either.
Of course you Thank can you, mate. Do it.
What are you...
So you're right, Don. You've turned the sound down on your phone.
Hang on.
Why don't you turn your phone off?
I've just got some content for the show. Right, I'm ready to go.
Well, why don't you... do you want to start off with some of your pissy content, Don?
Pissy content.
Yeah, go on. Or would you like me to just... Why don't I read this out first while you're gathering your thoughts? Why don't... I've just got a text message from our solicitor.
Oh, no.
No, he said he can speak to us now, but we can't do it now, so we'll... It's all right.
I didn't sleep last night.
I can't ring him back right now.
Okay. Can we take a break?
No, we're not taking a break. You bring up, so I'm just going
to... No, I'm worried about
just,
this.
No, we're not. Just a minute. This is a very
we're
bad...
We're very gun-shy Rob, here, right?
I'm just speaking to him.
Rob, we're very... We're very gun-shy here, as you can see. We've gone through a bit of a problem. Oh. Oh, this is good. Can you pick all this up, Rob? Yeah. We're right, are we?
We're running something by him later.
Oh, good.
So we're running something by him later.
You really have matured. Usually you are very gung-ho, but now as you're getting older, you're becoming a little more cautious, which
Stop
is good.
Stop speaking shit, Don.
No, it's good.
Now, cautious...
It just shows that people can grow.
So let's just get this out of the way first. Let's state the bleeding obvious. We've gone from the most livable city in the world,
I picked that up on the microphone then.
Don, concentrate, man, please. Don't worry about the man we've flown in from San Fran, Footscray. We've gone from one of the most livable cities in the world to the most laughable city in this world by the extraordinary performance of this state government. Who are about as dishonest and corrupt as you can get. And we mention this chapter and verse week after week. It is extraordinary. And if you want any better example of this, and I don't think Daniel Andrews has been the same since whatever happened to him all those months ago down on the coast.
No, he's just the same as he was previously.
Well, I think he's got worse. It's got worse for some reason.
I was very disappointed. He never showed his face on the day demonstrations. He went to cover.
It's got worse.
Why?
Because...
I have literally tuned out.
This government is about as corrupt and dishonest as you'd find any parliamentary organisation in the world. And it is. And they're laughing at us overseas. And... if you want a better example, I'm going to read this out. This is what happened last week about iCook Foods and the government stopped the police, have intimidated the police as to giving evidence as to what has happened. This was last week. Thursday's hearing is about an application to subpoena and question key police officers involved in the iCook investigation. The police won't appear, and the lawyers because the lawyers are chasing the documents, they want to call Detective Sergeant Ash Penry, Detective Senior Constable Rick Mockus, Detective Superintendent Paul Hollowood, and Deputy Commissioner Robert Hill. Thursday will be the first public airing of the battle to get documents relating to whether or not Sutton, that's Brett Sutton, was arrested or questioned by police in 2020 about the illegal closure of iCook Foods. Vic Pohl has been fighting for months using Mr. Batkos from FOI, Freedom of Information, to avoid any public hearings in VCAT about Sutton and Vic Pohl. So they are resisting an open transparent inquiry is into the actions of the state government regarding the disgraceful handling of the iCook Foods rort, and they will not allow the police to give testimony. They are intimidating them, and this is just another prime example of the corruption that's pervading this state government. They are a disgrace. And if you want another better...
We mentioned this last week, if I can just go on.
We didn't mention that.
Well, we didn't mention that, but the problem is, in society nowadays, in the workplace, they do have contracts, employment contracts. And Shane Patton, the Chief Commissioner, has got a contract.
Yes.
He wants his contract renewed. So he's got to be subservient to those dishing it out. Now, these contracts, we never had a problem, and this is the problem with modern society and contracts and whatever else nowadays. Once upon a time when you were in a position such as that, if you go way back to the 50s, there was a bloke called Porter who was a Chief Commissioner and...
Mick. I don't know.
Was that
the man who played for Hawthorn?
No, yeah, he was a Hawthorn. Mick.
They
were reputable characters, but they didn't have these employment, and they weren't beholden to anyone. Whereas now, Patton is beholden to the state government, for his job.
That we did mention last week. You're quite right, Don.
This is what's wrong with the system.
That's right. If they're under contract, they can take instruction from their employer, which is the state government.
But he needs a job.
I'm agreeing with you, Don. So now, people, if you want to see the dishonesty, this started, you might remember, I stood on the steps of Parliament House 18 months ago about the disgraceful decision not to allow people to play golf. And I said, don't worry about the elites and the silver tails playing at all the great clubs. This has nothing to do with that. So they allowed people to play golf last week, but you know what the rider was?
Yeah, you couldn't use the toilets.
Yes,
unbelievable.
So who did that preclude from playing golf? Women. Because it's all right for men to go and have a slash behind a tree.
Hang on, you take a doggy bag with you if you're a man.
If you don't need to evacuate your bowels, Don, if you just need to urinate, men can go behind a tree. It is very hard for women in this day and age, although things are becoming a lot less stringent, for women to actually drop their dacks or lift up their dress and go and squat behind somewhere in a bunker. Women just don't do that on any golf course, whether it be a silver tail golf course or a public course. So they effectively stop women from playing golf because you can't have a leak or evacuate your bowels on the course or in the clubhouse. What sort of mentality, what sort of political, what sort of science decides that you cannot use a toilet and yet you can go and fill your car up at a petrol station, hold on to a nozzle that 8,000 people have held on to, but you can't go into a latrine and wipe your coit or sit there and have a meditate over what you're doing in there? Have you ever heard anything more disgracefully stupid, arrogant and pompous? And then the treasurer, what's his name? What's the treasurer's name? Mr. Pallas. He says, the federal government, the Morrison government, is not quite giving us all the money that we think we should get to compensate people for being out of work. Why would the federal government give the state government here any money at all when the state government, thumbed their nose at Morrison's offer 18 months ago to have the quarantine run by the army or the federal police or whatever, and yet they went to a bogus security company, Jobs for the Boys, that Daniel Andrews and the government installed, and they killed 800 or best I part of 1,000 people. They had just deaths on their
just
hands
on that security
when every other state had one or two deaths.
Okay, just on that security company, I think they've gone into liquidation too.
Well, that
United
there's,
Secure,
there's
I think they've
scandal.
Gone into liquidation.
How many more scandals can this government withstand without them? I see the poor old, not poor old, but old Gladys. She has sex with one bloke and has to resign. This government has had sex with, has fucked 3.5 million Victorians, and yet they're still in business. But she,
I think they're doing. I think he's got a lot of advisors, and he's shifting depending on who is advising him on the day. I found it very interesting over the last couple of weeks. One is he's blaming gatherings. Can you believe gatherings for the AFL Grand Final as a reason for the spike in the coronavirus? He is also blaming the marching, the CMFEU, as it, you know, because everybody, dangerous, oh, yeah, that's an outbreak, a source of outbreak. What? Does he think he's dealing with idiots? Then I've watched it, I just turned it off. He's lecturing like we're back at school, the headmaster, you're in trouble, you get a lecture from bloody Andrews.
I don't think he's been the same since whatever happened to him down the coast. He's got worse. And how and why? Well, I know why.
I'm numb to it. I am numb to it.
Anyhow, there we are. So, and we started this off by the disgraceful action of shelving the iCook disgrace.
Can we just go on
the back burner?
Yeah, can we just go on a little bit further about this?
What's CFMEU mean, Don? Go on, tell us.
I'm not interested. I'm looking something up on the phone, you idiot.
Sorry, Don. A CFMEU, see if you know what that means. People say, oh, yeah, the CFMEU. What does it mean? Come on.
Now, he's trying. Now, this is, I've just heard a
rumor. CFMEU.
Okay, just tell me what it means. Quiet for a moment. Jeez, you give me the shit sometimes.
Hopefully I do, Don, because it sounds like I'm making sense and you can't cope with people who are logical or make sense.
There is a bit of a rumor.
You're not speaking into the microphone
again. I can't get it confirmed, but I think Andrews is working on something behind the scenes, or the Labor Party is, with regard to this state of emergency. We're in state of emergency, but I think they're trying to get through some pandemic thing.
To maintain control over the community, they're now shifting medical emergency or a pandemic emergency in the best interest of the state, and it's bullshit. Grab for power.
Okay, but what worries me too is he got three independents in the upper house over the line last time. That was Andy Medic, the lady from out at Moreland Council, from the Greens, and Fiona Patton. Patton. Now, she got, you know, and those people, one was halving, the lady from the Greens Party, she wanted and got halving of the fines for young people.
Hookers.
No, listen.
Oh, sorry.
You know, who were fined over the COVID breaches. Medic wanted the whip reduced in, or no whips in racing, which they trialled and they haven't done any more. And Fiona Patton wanted legalised, you know, so hookers could solicit on the street.
Yeah.
Now, and so consequently for those three things, we're in this diabolical state that we're in right now.
That's right. Well, if those three people they who maintain the balance of power, if those three people don't kick their heels up and say enough is enough and don't let him get more power over the hapless community, then they should be ashamed of themselves,
Don.
Yeah,
but what are they going to ask for this time?
Well, I
don't know. That's the worrying thing for me. What are they going to ask for this time?
Oh, well, who knows, Don, but let's hope they're not asked for anything. Let's hope they have the moral and the moral and ethical input in their body to resist any nonsense that he might that this government, not him, this government might try and coerce them or blackmail them.
I'm
to
just
doing.
Trying to find the Twitter. It was sent to me, Fiona Patton, on her account on the 4th of October.
CFMEU means what?
Now, this is Fiona Patton, misinformation. Now, this is what she actually said in a Twitter account, 4th of October. Misinformation about the end of state of emergency is circulating, undermining public interest and fueling undue fear. The state of emergency is not due to end in October. It will end in December.
Yep.
By then, and somewhere around the 19th of November, Victoria will have reached 80% vaccination threshold and entered phases C and D of the national plan, meaning we will be open. This is Fiona Patton on a tweet.
Get on with it.
Shut up. Don't be rude. I am aware of the Victorian government is developing, oh, this is where I got it from, is developing a new pandemic legislation, yes. But I am not privy to its details.
Public health edict so that they can maintain power
the legislation. Let me finish. That all legislation right. will only have my support if it is transparent and accountable. Mm. Statement by Fiona Patten, 4th of October.
Right.
So I hope, and she's put it down in Twitter, I hope it is transparent and I hope she doesn't do, and I hope the other two don't succumb to what we're going through now because they are held responsible.
So, Don, what CFMEU mean? Because
you are.
Well, what do
he's you're sitting there, Rob. This man suffers from Asperger's
disease. We try
and if you know a cause of Asperger's, Don, you get onto something and you just cannot get off
we
it.
Try
it might be Lego. It might be fishing. It might be something else. His thing is,
Don gave his former partner Lego set for Christmas, and he got home one day and he said to her, "Why don't you open the Legos and we'll see if we can build maybe a rocket or something?" And I think she misunderstood. Don, listen to me. We try and inform. We try and inform people. This is people say, "I never knew that." You know about CFMEU. No one. What do you think CFMEU means? You see them marching and
I see the sign on the Port Melbourne football ground every time I come and do this.
So what's it stand for?
Podcast.
Without googling it, which
okay,
I haven't.
CMFU, yes. Righto. Let me see. So
what's
metal workers or
what's
something
C mean?
Union.
So what's C mean?
The U would stand for union.
No,
E would stand for electrical. Would it?
Don,
oh, no,
do
electrical.
It from the front, mate. C. What do you think that means? Construction.
Oh, construction.
F.
Federated.
Forestry.
What?
Forestry.
What's for?
That's what it means. I think I haven't looked it up, but I'm from memory because I went and
Rob
spoke.
Rob over here shaking his head. He agrees. The thumbs are up.
He nods. He's not shaking it. He's nodding it. I went and spoke at a CFMEU function down at a golf club a couple of years ago, and I looked up to see what CFMEU meant.
Okay.
And it means construction, forestry, M.
Maritime.
It does.
The reason I got maritime, because I thought it's got to be something. How is forestry linked to construction?
Forestry, because you need wood to build things.
Oh, they build it. What are they building these skyscrapers out of wood? It's steel.
They build houses out of wood, Don.
Oh, come on. The union doesn't get involved in house building. Little subbies. Subbies do.
They're all union.
Subbies, I mean,
of course they do. There should be two M's. It's maritime and mining, right? So, but they only put one M in. So it's construction, forestry, maritime, mining, E. Obvious. E.
Well, I said electric.
Yes, what?
No, but they've got an
say
ETU.
It again.
Electrical.
Correct.
But hang on, they've already got an ETU.
It is construction, forestry, maritime, mining, electrical union. That's what CFME. See, people would not know that, Don. And that's why we try and...
Why have they combined so many member unions?
Oh, because the strength in
because
numbers.
Because they're member... Well, I was just going to say, is their membership pretty poor in some of those and they've just combined to get a decent membership? Because I think unionism could be on the wane.
So, just as a lighter topic, Don, do you ever wonder why... Do you ever watch a show called My 600-Pound Life? That's obese women who weigh as much as a transit van, as much as a small truck, 600 pounds, and they do a program out of it. If that's not exploiting for sheer cringeworthy television, who would be interested in watching two 600-pound women go about their life?
Well, they
need a front end loader to get them into bed.
Well, actually, they have. I've seen documentaries and films where men actually get off on this, and they're called feeders.
Yeah, they are.
And they look after these women, bathe them, and whatever else.
That's,
and I have seen.
It's freak TV.
Well, they've cut the side out of the unit in this particular place to get this woman to hospital. And then they couldn't get her into hospital.
I know.
She was too big.
That's freak TV, Don. They're
is
just
it?
Exploiting People
are funny. Well, there was a show, yeah. People Are Funny, Art Linkletter, remember that?
Yeah, I don't think it was about fat sheilas like
that. No, but people are funny.
Or fat men like that. I'm not sure. Can women feed fat men? Are they feeders?
That's a very good point.
And then there's another show called, have you ever watched Dr. Pimple Popper? That is a show.
Well, he presses pimples in the
pus. He does. Boils and...
Really?
And it is extraordinary.
Did you ever have boils as a kid?
A big pun, Don?
Did you ever have boils as a kid?
Moving right along.
No, not moving along. We'll get back to boils.
Well, I've had a boil or two, yeah.
How did you get rid of it?
Oh,
Well, we used to put steam in a milk bottle. Remember, we had milk bottles.
Used to put steam in a milk bottle?
Yes, and what happens? Didn't you do
no,
this?
No, just a minute, Don.
We used to put
steam in a milk bottle. How did you do that, Don? Did you breathe into it?
Well, remember, we did have milk bottles.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, yeah, people think of cartons. The young people only think of cartons. So anyway, you put the bottle over the jug or the kettle on the fire, and the steam would come out as it boiled. So you'd capture the steam and put it in the milk bottle.
Do you know what, Don?
And then you put that over the boil. As it cooled, it would draw the core of the boil.
Do you know what? I'm looking at you, Don, wondering what in God's name is going on in the back of those behind your eyes. It's like a roller coaster. It's going round and round like a pinball machine, hoping it'll strike some light that'll come on that you'll speak sense about. What are you talking about? You put steam into a milk. I said to you, do you think Dr. Pimple Popper's not just exploiting? How can you make a television show out of that? You're saying, well, I seem to know about it because I've watched it. It intrigued me, the name. That's and my 600-pound life intrigued me, so I turned onto that. You couldn't fit the people onto the... You couldn't... They had to...
I know they do. It's happened here in Melbourne. They just go from one hospital to another because one hospital won't take them.
It's just... I just saw that and I thought... How does that get to air, and how is that allowed under the name of whatever sign or branding that gets under? Is it AO or children can't watch it or access the locked thing on your television? Who wants to watch that?
Well, you do.
No, I don't. I just.
Doing a channel flick.
Would you sit? I was. Would you sit? I thought, what is this? Would you sit down with the family one day just after having your evening meal and watch?
No, you wouldn't watch it with the family.
600 pound people going about their. Well, they don't go about their life. They just lie there and vegetate, Don.
I was on YouTube the other night and what popped up was a show. It's got me fascinated. It's called The Jerry Springer Show.
Yes, Jerry. Yes, that's old show. Is it
is
still?
It?
Yes, old.
Okay, well, it's on YouTube.
But they get fighting lovers to come in and belt the shit out of one another.
Do you think...
Yes, what?
They're not actors, are they? No, are they actors?
No, they're not actors, but they're people who just love to get their head on television and
do
anything.
Do they get paid for doing what they're doing?
I'm not sure about
I've watched
that,
a couple of episodes on... It's on YouTube.
Yes, I know what
and
it
I,
is.
And I could not believe the stories or the storylines that these people come
it's about
up with. Who's having sex with who
that's
and who's
right.
up
it's
what
about
and
the
And
love
then they
triangles.
Bring them out together and the women are literally fighting
I know.
In the audience.
Yes. They are.
This was on television.
Yes. What?
It was on television.
Of course. Yes. The Jerry Springer Show. He was huge.
Really?
Was a top rating show because people like to see other people getting the shit belted out of them as long as it's not them.
Isn't that taking advantage of disadvantaged
people? Well, that's what I'm saying about the 600 pound life and Dr. Pimple Popper. And what is that?
But I think you're taking advantage of
and
people.
And so why aren't the authorities saying, no, mate, this is a bit over the top. I don't think we should be exploiting these types of things. We get into trouble for...
Yeah, getting you, I know. We
doing
get into
anything.
Trouble, I know.
So you might remember this. So this is another... This is
We're basically the same, aren't we? We're just sophisticated.
You and I?
No, we are. As a human race, we're the same. We're just sophisticated animals.
Some of us are, Don, yes.
Well, we are. We're just one up from
Yes, well, do you know
so
what
we're
the
just
difference,
sophisticated
do you know,
animals.
Do you know what the difference between us and animals are.
Well, sophistication.
Animals, every animal only exists for two reasons, to eat and to fuck. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. To eat and to procreate. We have one more string to our bow. We actually invent and develop things and build things. So
that also stuff a lot of things up in this world.
Yes, Don.
The human race has stuffed this world up.
Yes, yes. What? What do you mean it's stuffed it up?
This world, we are gradually...
You're getting on to climate change.
No, I've got...
Let me tell
you... No. We are contributing. We are...
Of course, I'm sitting
on the fence with regard to climate because I think the world is evolving. But we are contributing through the gases and we are creating a lot of problems in this rubbish, for example.
Don, we are. There's a subtle difference between climate change and global warming. So you might remember last week when you and the Rocket took me to task saying, what do you do with your life? Just sit at home getting all this shit and reading this stuff out, as opposed to you and the Rocket who do absolutely nothing with your lives. Remember I said there was a study by the United Nations and I said Lord Monckton said that we contribute 30 billion tonnes of CO2 into the atmosphere and that'll create 7 degrees of global warming if we do nothing about it. I won't finish it, but that's what I said basically, and there's no point trying to stop us humans from heating the planet unless you don't want to risk burning any CO2 at all. So why don't they broadcast this? They said, this was the news item last week, delaying trading fuel-efficient vehicles in to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. If you keep your petrol-driven car 10% longer, you will save 30 million tonnes of CO2 going into the atmosphere as opposed to trying to offset it with the emissions created by making electric vehicles. So they say... the emissions that go into the atmosphere to create electric vehicles are far more than if you keep your fuel-efficient car 10% longer. Now, why doesn't that get mentioned when we're talking about transparency or giving two sides to the arguments about global warming or climate change or whatever? Because they say we've got to get rid of fossil fuels and replace them with what? That's not me, and if the Rocket was here, I won't ask the man who we've flown in from San Fran Footscray, I won't ask him, but the Rocket would Google that and find that that is a fact.
It depends on where you're getting your news and your information
from. Use my lines, Don. I say that every week.
Well, I have become very much aware of it since doing this podcast, and I find it very, very difficult to get the right information. You've got to decipher, you've got...
That's right, but you never get the differing opinions if the news organisation is biased and for a political agenda for the people that they support. So tell me this, Don. Now, I didn't know that this was illegal. Did you notice that a Chinese duo who are duo, a couple?
Duo. No, it's D-U-O. Duo.
That's what I said.
You said duo.
No, I didn't mention their religion. They're a Chinese couple. I'm not sure that they're man and woman, but they're two Chinese people who are trapped in China due to the COVID have had a squatter move into their house and live in their house for, I think it says, a year.
This is in Melbourne, isn't it?
Yes.
I saw this article.
Good, Don. Well, the reason I'm mentioning it is a Chinese duo who are trapped in China and can't get back to the house. A neighbour noticed that the lights had been on continually and thought that they were back, but finally confronted or saw the person. It's a squatter. Mm. The Chinese duo, through their solicitors or legal people, contacted the police. And the police, this is the reason I bring it up, said it's not illegal for people to squat in your house. How would that be not illegal? How can you move into someone's property who you've paid rent and rates and taxes for, and how could you move into someone's house and live in it? And then the coppers said, it's not their fault, but they're probably... they said, you should try and work out a rental agreement with the squatter. The people in China, from China, should try and work out a rental agreement from this squatter. How is it not illegal to squat in someone's house or property, Don?
The world amazes me.
But that is bullshit.
I'm just saying.
How,
can I bring something up?
Please bring something up, Don.
Okay, can we talk about this? I just saw a young fellow, 39, he's now the Premier of New South Wales. And through the week I was worrying about our politician. You know, I think our politicians are not worldly enough, especially in the Labor Party when it's being highlighted in Victoria. They come out of university, you say, oh yeah, we've got an academic degree. They either go and work for some social organisation or a union, and then they become parliamentarians. Are they worldly? No. Why can't we make it a qualification or mandatory that an age? I think 39 is young. You have an experience, and he's going to lead the state in New South Wales. I don't think he's worldly enough at 39.
Well, what's that mean?
No, just listen.
Oh,
could we make it mandatory or a qualification to become a parliamentarian an age of 55? And just listen. And also self-employed. No, that you have at least been in business. You're self-employed, you've got an aspect of life, and you also have experienced life at the age of 55.
You're a fascist.
What's fascist about that?
Fascist.
I am
fascist.
I am worried about where we're going as far as... And it's been highlighted, the inadequacies of our parliamentarians, both federally and state, especially over what we've experienced the last 18 months. And it goes on into other areas. Finally, they're being exposed.
Why don't you think a 40-year-old man or woman...
Because they haven't had life's experiences, John.
Well, like what?
Are you wiser now at your age than you were at 40?
I'm more cynical.
Are you wiser, John? Have you experienced more at the age you are now than you had at 40? Well, it stands to reason, yes. You are able to draw on far more experiences... And especially if you've been out in the big wide world, and then you can take that in and at least apply it for the community.
If a 40-year-old person, man or woman, just getting back to the two binary choices that we have in life, despite what your pronouns might be, if a 40-year-old person stands for Parliament and one of their traits is economics or travel or health, why can't they who have graduated from a university or... it is preferable to have owned a business if you're going to give business acumen about how to run a country and an economy. That's preferable, surely, but you can't. You can't mandate people.
Why not? Got to have their, you've got to be over 21 to vote or 18 to vote.
It's a democracy, Don. If you have the sex party, the woman stands up and says, you know, we can have hookers on the street.
Hang on. I think there's a lot of experience, especially in the older part of our society or community, that's not being utilised.
Well,
and I think there's far more qualified people out there that are not being utilised. What they're doing in Parliament, the bureaucracy, we're experiencing where I live right now at a place called Mornington Peninsula. The Shire down there, oh, geez, I'm just about ready.
We'll get on to the Shire in a minute. We will do that.
It is not a true representation. I'm wild.
Before we get on to the
Shire. It's not a true representation of the Shire in Mornington.
Before we get on to the Shire, Don, Rob, could you tell him not to thump the table, mate? Because it puts out all the balances of the... I watched the monitor there on the...
I am wild.
On the decibels. As soon as he hit the table, they sprang through the top of the computer. Don, settle down. Before we get on to the Shire down there... tell me this, Don.
What?
There's a group of do-gooders.
Oh, yeah.
There's a group of do-gooders who've offered a $1 million incentive to get vaccinated, right? You saw that, did you? Right. So that's fair enough, but they say they're rewarding people who are undecided or are thinking of getting vaccinated. So they're stumping up $1 million. What about the people who've actually taken the plunge and got vaccinated? They've got no reward. They've got no incentive because they've done it. So they're now bribing people who might be thinking about it or might be going to get vaccinated. So it would have been wise to hold off being vaccinated until someone bribed you with $1 million to go and get vaccinated. Have you ever heard anything more
stupid?
They
might be lucky. They might be lucky when they go get vaccinated and get some saline drench. Did you see that too?
Saline?
Saline drench. Out in Deep Dean, some of medical place, they injected the wrong stuff. It was saline.
Saline. I don't know.
Saline.
Saline. Yep. All right. So, Don, now, I just want to mention this. This is projection. This is where you've got to be so, and I'm very, I'm not careful about saying this. Talk about projection. Hey, it's Saturday, having their 50th anniversary, or attempting to, I think. And they haven't asked Kamal, I don't think, to come on, because if you'll remember when all this stuff came up about blackface and what happened in the past, you know, Kamal, I think, allegedly said that it was despicable and humiliating when someone painted their face black or they put white powder over his face as a joke or something. And he said it was despicable and disgraceful. And yet, he hasn't been asked to come on the 50th anniversary, and he said he'd love to come on, but he hasn't been asked. So why would you come on if you said originally that it was despicable and disgraceful what they did to him, and why would he? So this is not necessarily from Kamal. This is projection from people who want to be so politically savvy that they will. I have personal experience with this, that we asked a couple of people to come on this show who I interviewed for another forum, a football show, who were happy to be interviewed because they thought it would do their brand good. But when we asked them to come on this forum, they declined because they said I'd been a racist by painting my face black or calling George Floyd a piece of shit. You cannot get more projection and more hypocrisy than that. So you've got to be very careful about people's motives.
Okay, another thing you mentioned about the reunion. How do you think it'll go, that reunion? Because they used to have, and I used to watch it religiously, Hey Hey Saturday. Yes. It was a terrific show, and there was a great rapport, I thought,
yes,
amongst the people on the show.
Yes, the cast.
Now, over the years, I think maybe that rapport has broken down.
It probably...
I think it might have been the 40th, and I thought, not as good.
No.
The rapport wasn't quite there, and I think a few other things have happened
over the
years. Let me finish.
All right, Don.
How do you think it will go, the 50th anniversary and the interaction between the various cast members?
Thanks for the
question.
Thank you, Don. I think there's been some acrimony between all the cast members.
What do you mean by acrimony?
You don't know? You're not familiar with the word acrimony?
No. Please explain, as Pauline Hanson would say.
Some disagreements and angst. Do you know what angst means?
Yes, I do.
Right, acrimony. So there's been some disturbances and untoward comments about people on the show. I tell you what, people will tune in just to see how old and fucked all the people who used to be on it are now. That's what they'll do.
Who won't be there? Is anyone passed on? Will Ozzy Ostrich be Ernie Carroll? Will he be there? Is he still about?
I don't know.
Because I thought he was very important. You remember Ozzy Ostrich?
Yes.
Dickie Knee?
Well, Dickie Knee is a...
Is the same person.
No, he's not.
Yeah, it's...
Dickie Knee's John Blackman, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Well, didn't he say...
Is it Crystal? Crystal, the floor manager, used to put his hand up. Oh, Dickie.
Put his hand up? What?
was.
What do you mean?
Who was Dickie Knee?
Well, I think the person who lives with a masseuse, a girl I know, up on the Gold Coast now. She goes out with him.
Hang on. Let me digest that. Go again.
I used to know a girl who was a masseur.
So
a clinical masseur, not a happy ending masseur, Don. And I used to go and see her occasionally for massaging purposes.
Yes.
And proper massage.
Okay.
Well, I'm trying to.
You just don't have
You're looking at me as though this is going.
No, I'm not.
And she said that she was moving to Queensland with I don't want to. I thought it was Ernie Carroll, but it might not be. The man who dressed up in a suit. Who was that? You said his name.
Dickie Knee.
Not Dickie Knee, the other one. The what was the bird? What was his
Aussie
name?
Ozzy
Ostrich.
That's Ernie Carroll.
Well, I think Ernie, I don't want to, I think Ernie lives, I shouldn't say this in case he's married and he's flown the coop and is living with the masseur. I think that she lives with one of the people who used to dress up on Hey Hey It's Saturday. I know her. I could ring her up and ask her. I won't do that now, as a matter of fact, but I think that's correct. So I think it'll be quite a success, Don, because people will be tuning in to see Wilbur.
Oh, yeah.
And John Blackman, who's had a serious amount of surgery to his...
But he's not on camera, John, is he? He's just in the booth doing voiceover.
Ah, well, I think he'd probably...
He's the voice of the show.
Is he?
And the quick wit. Oh, they're all quick-witted.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all right. Now we're going to finish. Now, so you were going to bring up something. I cut you short, Don, about someone down at quickly.
Oh, what? Don't get me going on.
You said there was a woman.
Well, I live on the peninsula, and what happened down there? And I can only blame myself as a ratepayer. Oh, I put my vote in, but it obviously didn't register. Because six new councillors have come in. There are three old and six new. Since this six new have come in, the mayor...
Yes.
..who was a first-time councillor got elected, and her name is, I hope I've got it right, Despre O'Connor.
Yes.
Now, Despre O'Connor is very, very community-minded.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, why do I say it? Because she has set out not a text but a message over social media, and I couldn't believe...
Get on with it, Don.
Let me get it up. I've got this phone. I'm trying to work this phone.
The man we've flown in from
and
overseas.
And people probably saw the article. I couldn't believe it in last week. No sex, please.
This is her quoted, is it?
This is her sending out...
Go on.
Let me bring it. Oh, how do I work this?
Seriously, Rob's got a flight back to the Philippines shortly.
And I thought he was...
Come on, Don. Fuck you.
A Melbourne council has been told to stay out of ratepayers' bedroom after sharing tips for good sex. Mornington Peninsula Shire encouraged locals to explore sex toys, oral sex, and erotic poems in a social media post.
This is
the
mayor.
The post was flooded with hundreds of comments from ratepayers, and many believe the council should stay in their lane. Bloody oath. Look after what's got to happen in the council. You've got a lot of problems down there.
So this
the
is
Institute of Public Affairs Foundation Western Civilization Program Director, Dr. Bella Diabra, said the council has lost sight of its purpose. The initiative sounds like it's an embarrassing secondary school sex education class and does not do the council any favours. However, Mayor Despre O'Connor said the Shire was legislated to support the community's health and well-being. Our sexual health is just as important as our physical and mental health. We need to be able to have conversations about it in a safe and supported way. Jeez, if you're not getting any sex, they might set up a department where they'll be able to provide sex for you at the council. Do you think they'll that? Maybe they could work something in with Fiona Patton. They could have people down on the street soliciting.
We could volunteer, Don. If people need sex, we could be there just on standby to give it to them.
We're useless.
What?
We're useless.
Don't you worry about that. Given half a chance, I can get fashion it
after
into something.
After the operation.
I can fashion it into something, the old blue-veined hooligan. I can get it up and about. Don't worry about that. Now, Don.
Hang on, let me finish. Now, the Don, pleasure, fuck. Which included a section on orgasms, was one of a series on health, and the biggest reaction as hundreds flooded the page with comments. Can you believe?
So this is the mayor encouraging.
This is the mayor of our encouraging the shire where
sex
I live.
Toys and
the
blow
shire.
Up. I know a bloke who. I think he might have.
We ought to. Do you think we could get her on?
Get on what? Get on what?
The mayor of Mornington.
Mate, I don't know, Don. You can. She's in your show. I know a bloke who experimented with sex toys. He got a blow-up doll, took it home one day and blew it up, and just in a fit of passion, bit it on the tit and it farted and flew out the window. Now, Don, maybe this. I've just while you've been doing that, I've looked this up. Maybe she could put this on the at the Mornington website. This is a new way to encourage people to get up and about. Listen to this. This is real. I've just found it now, and I'm going to play this to you. Have a listen to this, just carefully.
Here's a fax from Cooter in Orlando, who sends me a copy of a story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times. He says, a prestigious newspaper, not the oft-maligned Weekly World News. Quoting the story. In retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake, but I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil. Eric Tomaszewski told bemused doctors in the severe burns unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Tomaszewski and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kinky Farnham, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a felching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kiki shouted out, Armageddon! My cue that he'd had enough. I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't come out again, so I peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might attract him. At a hushed press conference, a hospital spokesman described what happened next. The match ignited a pocket of intestinal gas, and flame shot out the tube, igniting Mr. Tomaszewski's hair and severely burning his face. It also set fire to the gerbil's fur and whiskers, which in turn ignited a larger pocket of gas further up the intestine, propelling the rodent out like a cannonball. Armageddon! Tomaszewski. Tomaszewski suffered second-degree burns and a broken nose from the impact of the gerbil, while Farnham suffered first and second-degree burns to his anus and lower intestinal tract. Time again! peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might make the gerbil come out. So that's what felching is all about. Armageddon! Who says that? I didn't. Robert E. Raven on the John Bourne-Billy Show.
So maybe we could send that. Maybe the mayor could post that on the Mornington website, and that might inspire people to experiment with sex. I noticed, did that Did we play Daddy Cool music? But do you know why the Daddy Mule music, Daddy Cool music came? Because you thumped the table so hard because you're laughing.
I did not.
You ignited, if you like, not a pocket full of gas.
That's not true, is it, that story?
He read it out of the Los Angeles Times.
Oh, how old is that story?
Don, you banging the table instigated the theme music for the end of our show to come on. Did that come across, Rob, the man from the Philippines who we've flown in? Did that come across? Did that interrupt the story? A bit. Well, how can we play it again?
You play it again.
Now, we're going to play it again because we'll get... This, we're going to finish on this. We're going to finish on this. Don, now, Don, don't thump the table. Okay. We're going to finish on this, and when it's finished, Rob's going to play the Daddy Cool music because we'll probably get asked to repeat it. So this is, we think this is our contribution to the Mornington Council to get people up and about. So here we go again.
Here's a fax from Cooter in Orlando who sends me a copy of a story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times. He says... A prestigious newspaper, not the oft-maligned Weekly World News. Quoting the story, in retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake, but I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil. Eric Tomaszewski told bemused doctors in the severe burns unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Tomaszewski and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kinky Farnham, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a felching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kinky shouted out, Armageddon! My cue that he'd had enough. I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't come out again, so I peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might attract him. At a hushed press conference, a hospital spokesman described what happened next. The match ignited a pocket of intestinal gas and flame shot out the tube, igniting Mr. Tomaszewski's hair and severely burning his face. It also set fire to the gerbil's fur and whiskers, which in turn ignited a larger pocket of gas further up the intestine, propelling the rodent out like a cannonball. Tomaszewski suffered second-degree burns and a broken nose from the impact of the gerbil, while Farnham suffered first and second-degree burns to his anus and lower intestinal tract. Armageddon! peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might make the gerbil come out. So that's what felching is all about. Armageddon! Who says that? I didn't. Robert E. Raven on the John Bonvilly Show.
Just crazy about you.